like, I'm all for paying for dates, and like, I believe that. I believe that
the children
both
are
partners,
our
future. Yes, teach them well and let them lead the way.
Exactly. But like,
welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, we're incredibly excited. I almost said super, but I stopped myself because I'm not using that word. To have a guest in the audience.
Yeah.
Yes, now we've gone Hollywood. To have Alexis back. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, thanks for having me.
Welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
good. You've been here before. We were just talking about it. One of the first guests that we had on the show, and you're back. Uh-huh. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you do?
Well, I'm an improviser. I do a lot of comedy improv at the Magnet Theater, and I have two weekly shows. Well, actually, I guess three. So one is Thursday nights at 9 p.m.
Every Thursday.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So my team is called The Wrath, and we performed on Wednesdays and have been a team for about 4 years now, about 4.5 years.
Wow.
I was added to the team about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
They were like, we need something.
Yeah.
This team is great, but it needs to be awesome.
We need to punch it up a little bit.
Yeah. I forget exactly, but I think some people left or whatever. And we've had like some transitions over the past year. We actually lost a really great player. His name is Scott Laurie. He's alive. He just moved to San Francisco. He moved across the country.
Okay.
And
farewell.
Yeah. He was great.
Young Scott.
Good luck.
Yeah. And so we perform every Thursday night during block party, and that's just like two different blocks of shows. So it starts at 8 p.m., and then you have two different teams, Junior Varsity and The Boss.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Bring up the rear, JV.
Yeah. And then at 9 p.m., it's The Wrath, and Ariana Grande is the other team.
All right, cool. And are you guys just doing your regular style of improv, or is there something specific about these shows?
So this one is, we just kind of do any form, and like right now we're toying with different forms. We're trying to do more just like silly shit, just like stuff that we find fun and funny. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun. So that show, like our teams, each team does like a 25-minute set.
Okay.
Yeah, and listeners, if you've never seen improv before, what we're talking about is a show. It's usually a team of, it can be from two to three, four, five, six players, and you get out on stage. You have no idea what's going to happen. You get a suggestion from the audience, and then you create a play right on the spot.
Yeah.
And like, it could go for a half an hour, something like that.
Yeah. And so for those shows, I think of them like improvised sitcoms, maybe. Okay. Especially when you have like a structure. I feel like The Herald is kind of close to like an episode of Seinfeld, because like his stand-up is like the opener.
Yeah.
And then you have all these different scenes that you've kind of pulled from his stand-up set. And that's kind of like, so like you can do any kind of opener.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like an interview style, like a documentary interview opener where you have two people sitting down and then they just like pretend like they're talking to a camera. So like, we've been married for 3 years and it's been going great, but sometimes she likes to bite my toenails or whatever. And then,
you know.
Yeah. You know, if the suggestion is toenail, or it could be completely.
That's my favorite.
It has to be foot related for me to find it humorous.
Oh, yeah. We start have a foot reference in there. Yeah. I always like these shows that start out with an interview style, because you get people are on stage, you get a suggestion from the audience, and then you open it up. It's almost like When Harry Met Sally, those kind of interviews, those testimonials.
I've never seen When Harry Met Sally.
Oh.
I haven't either, but I have a feeling.
Does it start with interviews?
Throughout the whole movie, they have these testimonials of people who had been, who are married or in love. Yeah. Either they just met or they...
With Harry or Sally? Like people who know Harry and Sally?
No, just random people telling their own love story.
That sounds like they ran out of B-roll. And they were like, let's fill it in. I love improv. Katie and I have both done some improv in the past. I just saw one of the worst improv things ever, though, when I was in Montreal, because they tried to do too much. So instead of starting with, like, the conversations, like you guys are saying, or interview style, they start off with a game of Cards Against Humanity. So they had that. And then on top of it, they were trying to take suggestions from the audience, and then they were going to do it in the style of a science fiction or fantasy thing. It was too much.
That's like three different shows right there.
That's what I thought, too.
Mixing your magic. And should you not... use Cards Against Humanity, because that's a joke in and of itself. Why are you getting a joke versus
that? That's the thing. Sometimes the Cards Against Humanity stuff was funnier. Like, that was already the joke.
Yeah. Right.
And then so then they tried to follow up. But it was, they were great improvers, and I felt bad because this was just an example of the game wasn't set up correctly.
Yeah.
So what do you do in your other two, you have two more shows?
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to, I'm trying not to use the word excited. I feel like it's overused.
Super.
I remember you talking about super.
Super excited.
Super excited. That one is like very much overused.
Maybe
in,
I'm highly
improv.
Anticipating.
Yes, I'm highly anticipating. Our show's tonight. So I perform every Saturday with the Armando Diaz Experience.
Okay.
And that's.
Is it tonight?
Yes.
Oh, tonight. I come to this.
Well, that one. So.
She's like, don't, it's sold out. Don't even try
tonight,
it.
Tonight's show will be great. We have another performer who we're about to lose to the West Coast. He's moving to
Los
Angeles.
Damn, the West Coast!
Yeah, yeah. Everyone moving to LA.
It's like, drawing people out. Like,
we need those people here. We need good performers. So what's this show?
So this show is inspired by Armando Diaz, who was a Chicago improviser. He started the Magnet Theater in 2005. And when he was in Chicago at I.O., Improv Olympic, that's what it used to be called, I guess he had these great stories, and, like, the improvisers there created a form based off of him and his...
Is that the Armando?
The Armando, and they still perform it at I.O. every week. And so it's basically a monologue deconstruction. They have a monologist come out, they tell these different stories, and then you do a bunch of scenes based off of that. Maybe they'll come out and do another story. So for the show that I do, a monologist will come in as a guest monologist.
And in New York, we've got monologists lying around.
Yeah, oh, we do.
You can't swing a dead cat without hitting monologists.
That's very true. Everybody's got a story.
That they won't tell alone.
And so they'll do usually three stories, and we'll do... scenes based off of those.
Oh, that sounds cool.
So, yeah.
And then what's the third improv
and the
show?
Third
I'm so
show.
Impressed by this, like, how much improv you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel like I'm doing too many shows. Like,
Is there too much improv? Like, is that possible?
I don't think
it's like too much wine.
Too much improv.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're going to run out of ideas?
Yeah. From the audience.
So the third show is The Cast, and it's, we do a different genre of theater or performance every week.
Okay.
And so this week we're doing our version of Sleep No More.
Oh nice.
Yeah. And
Sleep No More, for those of you who may not be familiar with it, is a site-specific work. It started, I think, in San Francisco, the group. Then they brought it here to New York. They took over an entire, like, three-story building, and they tell the story of Macbeth. It was Macbeth when I was there,
yes.
Or parts of Macbeth. And you're immersed in it. It's creepy, and it's amazing. It's a little played out now because it's been going on forever. Mm-hmm. I think there's, like, a bar there now.
Yeah,
like, I think there's other things that go along with
it. I've been
it.
To the rooftop bar there.
Yeah, we went together. It was nice.
I've never seen Sleep No More. Actually, so with the cast, I find the shows that I, like, have no knowledge of, because we did a Game of Thrones show, and I
had no knowledge of that.
I watched like a bunch of YouTube season reviews right before the show, and that was like my cramming.
Because, you know,
for
what?
The show.
Because you're professional. The improvers that I saw, they were going to do fantasy stuff. It was at a Comic-Con, and two of them didn't know anything. One of them didn't know who Scully was, and had to play Scully in a scene from the X-Files.
That's the worst, when you get, you're stuck on stage and you don't know the reference, and you're standing there like, I have no idea who Scully is, I don't know Game of Thrones, I don't know nothing.
That's, so like, I'm at the point in my, improv performance where, like, if someone, like, calls me a character that already exists and I know nothing about them, then I'll just, like, do whatever I think that character is. So if I was named Scully and I didn't know anything about Scully, then I'd just be like, hey, everybody, my name's Scully. What's up? And just, like, create a different character.
This guy was good. He almost did that, but he really had no, he had never seen the X-Files. So he had no context for, he didn't even know Scully was in the X-Files. Yeah. He didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Anyway, so.
So tonight is Sleep No More, so we're opening up the entire, like, theater space. We have, like, building next to us has just, like, this big open vestibule.
I'm coming to that.
Please do.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Everyone's going to wear masks. The audience will wear masks.
Because just once again, in Sleep No More, they when you come in, they give all of the guests these freaky kind of carnival masks, like the Venetian
they have
like ones,
a eyes wide something. Shut,
yeah, yeah, yes. with a huge beak, like a phallic beak that's like a foot long, and it's creepy. Yeah. Everyone wears them. We went to one of the shows, and my husband and I thought we were hanging out with a friend of ours. It turned out it was not a friend of ours. It was just someone who was a similar stature to our friend and was wearing the mask, and we hung out with this woman for like 45 minutes because you can't talk.
Well, that's right. We didn't realize who each other
We didn't realize it. We got creeped out. We thought, like, this woman's trying to pick us up.
Uh-oh.
So you guys are going to Sleep No More?
Yeah.
That's
awesome. our version of it called Rest But Little. And we're going to do, instead of Macbeth, we'll do, like, Romeo and Juliet, just, like, another Shakespeare play that people are fairly familiar with.
I would hope so. I hope most people, if you haven't seen it, get, you know, kind of understand that it's a forbidden love story between two teens.
Yeah.
This is awesome. You guys are doing highbrow.
I feel like you've improved the kicking it up notches.
You've improved the podcast with all these references.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Listeners, it's really great. If you ever get a chance to get out and see any kind of improv, it's good to watch some live theater and see people do this right in front of your eyes instead of seeing scripted things.
Well, I mean, I think it's fun. Look, go to the Magnet is all we're saying.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to see some really good improv, not that you can't see it at other places, but I always feel like when I go to the Magnet, I see some solid, improv. It's diverse, and by that I mean not just racially diverse, but like everything, younger people, older people from all walks of life, because it's really important with improv that you have life experience, and you have lots of different life experiences on stage, just in case someone doesn't know Scully.
Right.
Somebody else will.
Yes.
All right, cool. So what else is going on? Are you doing, the last time you came to our show, you had a one-person show. Are you still doing one-person shows, or have you moved away from that?
I've kind of moved away from it. I was hoping to do some more character work, but I don't know, I've just been, like, busy with life. I haven't been able to, like, really sit down and write anything. Yeah, I've just been doing a lot of improv, and I was on a sketch team earlier in the spring. And now I'm going back to school, so like my brain's been kind of focused on that.
That's
recently.
Awesome! Congratulations. That's school sucks, but I'm in school and it's terrible. Being an adult in school is not fun at all. It's very frustrating because you're not as optimistic. You're like
it's
you
not
know
at all.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's not at all like Grease.
No,
when everything is there's no songs. There's no love interest.
Man, I'm so looking forward to singing in the hallway.
And love interest. Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Dang it!
You're not gonna be in the chemistry lab and meet the guy of your dreams over there by the periodic table and burst into song. It's not gonna happen.
Way to burst my bubble.
Sorry.
That's the way it is.
That's how it is in grad school. All right, so do you want to get down to some segments, though?
Sure, kick it off.
So I want to start off here with this. This is a really, really bad app, right? This is under unpopular technology. And actually, I got this from one of our Twitter friends, so thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
We happened to be on Twitter, talking about stuff, and then this came across. So I told them, I was like, I'm going to use this, and they said, you're welcome.
Okay.
you're very welcome, I think. So this is Olala. It's an app that lets you pay for dates.
Wait a minute.
To the United States. So it blends, according to the people who make the app, it blends everything you normally see in a dating app, but the twist is that the men pay.
The men actually pay.
For dates with women.
Wait, for the date or for the app itself?
For the date. The app is free.
Well,
so the original Oh La La has been, and it started in Germany in 2015, and it started in Berlin, and it spread to, you know, Dusseldorf, Hamburg, Stuttgart, whatever. And they are called instant paid dates. So the founder and CEO, which has, she has the best name ever, her name is Pia Poppenreiter.
All right.
Like that.
I know. Pia Poppenreiter told the author here that the German version was analyzed very closely and that the one in the U.S. is going to be a new product and it's supposed to work even faster than the German one. So I don't know what the problem was where the, you know, the euro's not getting to the ladies fast enough or like where match is not being made. So basically it works by allowing male users to create a profile and they fill out a request for a paid date. And then it includes like the duration of the date. 30 minutes, it's a quick-ass date.
Yeah.
One hour, etc.
I'm confused. Budget.
You pay the person?
Yeah, are you paying the person? You're paying, like, dinner ahead of time. In advance.
So you think you're going to the restaurant and, like, booking the table and then just paying up front and hoping the date happens? No, you're paying the lady.
You pay...
It says that the person who requests, the man has to be looking for a date within 4 hours. So he's, you know, if it's 4 o'clock between 4 and 8, he's got to be ready to date. The active female users have 21 minutes to respond. So the women are on there. They got 21 minutes. Only after the woman chooses to respond can their requester see the profile and then start chatting. And then they can go over the terms of the date.
Oh.
So they can either negotiate the date ahead of time.
Like, you can't, I'm not going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Olive Garden.
I only do an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. So the one in Germany is going really well, and they're adapting the one in New York the one in L.A. that they're working on, so that women can pay men. These are the difference between New York and L.A.
Oh, my God.
So, and they're also working on a gay community version.
Okay.
For the LGBTQ
crowd. Now, is this, like, kind of similar to an escort service, or is this for every woman?
They're saying they don't want it to be an escort service, and if people start escorting on here, they're going to shut it down. Although, I don't know what this is. I don't have a problem with escorting, but it sounds like if you're paying me for a date, that's escorting, right?
Yeah.
And if there's going to be sex on the date, then that moves, I think, just to straight-up prostitution.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Supposedly, I think that's the line between escort and prostitute. As an escort, you just hang out with a dude. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
No, I think that escort...
That's what I had in my head, that they would just, like...
Escort
you to dinner,
Chuck E. Cheese,
gala, to a, yeah.
To a gala, you're fancy. We're at Chuck E. Cheese.
High.
You're at the
high price escort.
Okay. It says here, the difference between... So, Pia Poppenreiter has said that they work with attorneys. And the difference from Germany and New York is that in New York, we're really telling people that we cannot promote illegal activity. Apparently in Germany, they're like, look, it's up to you. Be German. And then if there's illegal activity, quote unquote, they won't say what it is, but illegal activity, then that would be, you know, prostitution, and they're not into that.
Okay.
This is just for... They say they don't want to be in the escort quality. They don't want people to focus on the paid part of the app. Mm-hmm. They want them to focus on the instant part.
Oh,
okay.
So the important thing is not that there's payment. The important thing is that it happens quickly.
Quickly
and easily. So what do you think about this?
How convenient. Okay, so they're doing the...
So the problem is that dudes, you know, it takes them more than 4 hours to get a date, and...
Well, I guess if you have, everyone's very busy, and if you have free time on your hands, suddenly,
I'm going with you on this one.
So you get to it's close to the end of the work week, and you realize you don't have a date for Friday night.
You've got nothing going on. Age-old problem.
Yeah.
Right? It's an age-old problem. It's Friday at noon. What are you doing Friday night? You don't know.
Right.
Yeah. You don't have a lot of time to put something together.
You're going to sit home or you're going to get something set up in 4 hours.
And I guess if you put money into it, this date's actually going to happen. Because, like, I've had people ask me, I've never squelched on a date before. I don't know if you guys have done that. I've never said, yes, I'll do a date, and then been like, at the last minute. Mm-hmm. So I guess the payment part of it might ensure that I don't back out of the date.
Right.
I probably have to refund the money. I'm assuming I spent it already. When it went directly into my PayPal or whatever.
Yeah.
So this is the app called Ooh La La. Yes, Ooh La La, they want people to have paid hookups as quickly as possible. That's what they're saying.
Oop.
Paid hookups.
So they say that. Yeah, paid hookups. Mm-hmm. The transition between meeting on the app and real life has been engineered and re-engineered to make it instant. So hopefully, they're hoping that instant will be fast enough in New York.
And so is there some kind of, like, a GPS locator so only certain people within a radius can respond?
I mean, you got to be able to get, you have to respond within 21 minutes, but you have to be able to get to the date.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Within 4 hours.
Yeah. Because if you're in South Jersey and you're like, I got to get to New York.
In 4 hours.
Yeah. Take that for this date, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't,
you know, maybe it does have a thing. I'm assuming that people put, like, I'm in Midtown Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And they throw it out there and whoever can respond in 21 minutes then has 4 hours.
Right.
To get to the date.
I'm sure you can say, like, I will only date someone within
a certain radius.
5-10 miles of my.
Right. So then you office. Got the location. So it's mm-hmm. very, there. That's a little bit of a criteria that you're imposing upon.
Well, it's going to be instant.
It's going to be instant. But it can, then it's like, who's it going to be?
True. It depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Like, where my neighborhood is not as dense. So, guaranteed within, like, a 5-mile radius, it's someone I'm probably going to run into again. Versus being in, like, you know, Midtown Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
you could say 0.5 mile and you've got 1 million people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still think it's interesting that there are, it's paid hookups, but it's not escorting.
Oh. Yeah. They're like, we don't want it to be prostitution.
Yeah. Well, first of all, why not? Okay, is my problem. It sounds like prostitution, and I don't really care about that. But I just don't understand how they're going to... Like, if I were a legitimate escort, I'd be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
But are they targeting, like, you know, us? The everyday person?
Yeah. It seems like they are. It's like,
so you want to make a little money on the side in between your improv gigs.
You got 4 hours between gigs.
You want I do a meal? Have a lot of time between.
You want a meal, and you want to before you have it though. You want to be able to negotiate like 30 minutes. If someone was like, "Look, I really seriously want to date you. I got 30 minutes and $20. Is this going to work?" Because that's a negotiation, right? That's how it's going
to
go down.
What are you supposed to? Well,
Do you have an hour? I got $100, and then you have to decide. Like, you know.
Then you have to. Then you as the
non-escort.
As the escort, you have to decide, like, what's your bag of tricks?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you
going to
do even if it's non-sexual?
Walk around the park, get some ice cream.
For $100? That's not bad.
I can give a tour.
You can... I don't know if that's what they're... I think they're looking for more of a romantic...
Oh, okay.
Although someone might find that endearing.
Yeah.
And be like, I met this wonderful chick, she took me on a ghost tour.
Yeah.
Of Central Park for an hour. It was only $60.
Well, then you're supposed to touch them?
I don't know. I mean, I don't
think you're
supposed
to say nice things to them?
I don't know if that all gets negotiated. It just says the time and the budget. I don't know if you can get into, like, how we're going to address each other and, like, the proprieties of the date.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you can get that far down into it.
Okay.
Because I feel like at that
waist
point...
Waist up.
Yes, waist up.
That's it.
From the waist up.
That's all you get.
That's quite a lot for $100.
Yeah.
For 60 minutes. Anyway, so it's my technology. Wow. What do you have? Yeah, it's weird, huh? Oh, la, la. App.
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
Let's see what happens.
I like the idea that there's going to be one where the women can pay dudes. Because I've always found that fascinating. Because I want to see who these dudes are.
Right.
I bet there's a lot of dudes who are like, man, I'm not doing shit. I can make $60.
Yeah.
Going a tour. What do you have?
A tour of my body.
A tour, yeah. Only from the waist down.
Up.
Waist
right.
down only. Everything above the belt, forget it. That's an extra $30.
That's right.
Feet only.
I got the 4 R's.
The 4 R's.
Rehearse, record, retell, repeat.
209 West 40th Street. #NYC.
So, I have advice on advice.
All right. Advice on Advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice, hence advice on advice. And today we have Alexis on Advice on Advice.
Yeah, so you can look at the triple your
yeah.
advice.
Yeah.
Advice on advice on advice.
Okay, this is Dear Amy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a young woman currently dating my first boyfriend. We've been together for about 7 months.
Well, that's a long time for the first boyfriend. No. You gotta move on.
Yeah.
My first boyfriend was 2 years.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
That's a long time.
And that was the last long relationship I had.
That's really? A long one. I think after that, I'd want to take a break for like 5 years.
Yeah, that's essentially what happened.
Yeah, some marriages don't last that long.
Right. Right. Yeah, my boyfriend, I think it was like 6 months and he went into the army.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know that was going to happen when you guys met?
No.
Okay.
But whatever.
He just had the letter. He's like, look, this isn't working. I'm doing
that. I'm going to go off to war.
Yeah. He wrote me. From the trenches.
From the trenches.
I gave him a pin-up picture of myself.
Oh, really?
No.
Were you riding a missile? Like with a little hat on?
Little hat. I'm on a missile.
Riveting.
In my 80s wear with my sweatshirt off my shoulder.
Yes.
Flash dance look.
Top Gun.
Come back. What do you say to him?
I don't know. Where you good luck?
Good luck.
Duck? I have no idea.
Okay. So they've been together 7 months. While I really do like him, and we usually get along well, one thing about him that irks me sometimes is that he's cheap.
Get out of there. Seriously, run.
Right, that's
our advice.
We've known each other for about 6 years. Before we started dating, whenever we hung out, we would pay each our own share. That was fine with me. However, since we started dating, we seem to do either free activities or usually I end up paying for the both of us, whether the activity is my suggestion or not.
Oh.
He doesn't even offer to split or pay his own way at all. If I don't pay, then we don't do anything. I try to do little things for him and feel like he isn't doing the same for me. He makes more money than I do.
What?
I never expected to have a claim on his money, so it frustrates me when it seems like he feels he has a claim on mine.
I've never heard that term. I got a claim on your money.
I got a claim on your money.
I like it. It's like very, Gold Rush.
Yeah. You put a little flag on the guy's wallet.
Right. This is my money.
This is my money now, suckers. I got your first. All right. He says that he really likes me and that he sees me as family. He says he could see a future for us, one in which he's the main provider. But
Did he really say that?
He said,
I can see sometime in the future. It's always tomorrow that he's going to pay for something, right?
I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger
today.
Exactly. But I have the general idea that if he's like this now, he most likely won't change. Do you think I should stay with him longer to see if things can truly work out between us, or should I cut my losses early and spare myself some potential serious trouble?
Signed,
confused by cheapskate.
That's a good one. All right, I'm going to throw this one to Alexis to start off.
Do
we need a recap?
Yeah. Okay, so they knew each other for a long time,
mm-hmm.
about 6 years, and they would always...
How old are they?
They're young. They're young and in love.
Oh, God. You must be if you know what cheapness.
So if they were friends, then they were each paying their own way. But now that as a couple...
Now she pays.
She pays, or they do something for free, and he never pays. But he's like, I like you, and I can see a future in which I'm the provider. But all right.
I might pay for something later, but not now.
So the question is he going to continue this vein? Should I believe him that he's going to be a provider later on down the line? Or...
I say get out of there. Like,
You sure you want to think about that for a second?
They've been together for 7 months.
Uh-huh.
She hit it right on the nose that, like, he's not going to change. Mm-hmm. That's he's going to be.
Yeah.
And if she's really, like, she's really upset about the fact that she's, like, spending more money and he makes more money. Like, I'm all for paying for dates and, like, I believe that
the children
both
are
partners,
our future.
Yes, teach them well and let them lead the way.
Exactly.
But like, I think that each person should be contributing equally. But if he's like making more money, and
that's
thing
exactly.
is,
yeah,
and the thing is, dudes usually make more money than women anyway because of
the way how it is.
Yeah,
the way the world works. Yeah,
then you need to pay for something, and if you don't. Get out of here.
I don't understand why they're not at least, like, splitting the stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, I'm on the side because I'm a little old school. I'm like, I'm not paying for this. Mm-hmm. If you invite me out to something and it's a date, like, you're going to pay for it.
Isn't this part of the whole...
It was.
The wooing, the thing when you're dating, you're trying to find a partner. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
But he doesn't have to woo. Remember?
Yeah. Been friends.
I think a lot of people do this in relationships. However you start it off with, that's how it's going to be. So she started this relationship off, splitting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she has slowly let it slide into from splitting stuff to her paying for stuff. And so the guy is going to be like, what's the problem all of a sudden? Like, we've been, the whole 6 months we've been, or was it 7 months we've been together, you've been paying for everything.
Yeah.
Now what's the problem?
Yeah.
I think they need to talk. Like, if they haven't had this discussion yet, then they need to. And then if he still, like, doesn't see this as a problem, then just leave.
Yeah, I'd say sit on your hands when the check comes, see what happens.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're dating and you're looking, and you, if you have the goal to get married or you want to have a partner that you want to be with, or, you know, if you want to settle down.
Or goal?
I think goal.
Okay. No, either one is good. I just don't know how to respond.
If you're talking about money. The gold, yeah. And that's your goal.
If you have the gelda.
Yeah. These are, you look for the things that make a good partner. And it, not to sound like a gold digger, but one of them is that they are going to be financially responsible and look after you, yeah, as well. As you, them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they have to be doing that too.
But it's also about being like just being generous a little bit.
Yeah.
Like even when we just go with your friends, like don't you treat people sometimes?
Yeah, yeah. You treat people sometimes.
Yeah. This guy is not doing it at all.
I remember one of my first roommates that I had, and I was so surprised at this because, you know, as when you're a teenager and you're friends with people, you don't have a lot of money, so you're not buying your friends a lot of things unless it's their birthday.
Yeah.
And my roommate came home and she was like, I went to the bakery and I thought you would like this cookie. And she got me a cookie. And I was like, it's not my birthday. And I was so, like, touched, and it was nice to have a friendship where somebody thought of you and got you a little something.
Because it's probably, like, a $3 cookie is a lot when you don't have any money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just showing a little generosity and care in a relationship, and it doesn't mean it has to be expensive, but you have to have that kind of...
But you also can't be doing free stuff and be like, you know, you can't buy me a cookie and then me be like, well, let's go along the side of the road and pick up some blackberries.
Yeah.
Like, as a return snack.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be, you know, there has to be some mutual part. Okay, so what is our...
So the advice is...
Esteemed advice giver. So.
Since you're confused, before you leave the relationship, you should run a little test. Next time you go out, pull out only enough money for your share, then slide the bill towards him.
Right.
When he when he crowbar opens his wallet, or will he wordlessly slide the bill back to you? If he's refusing to pay his share, why is this? You don't seem to have confronted him about it, and you should. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Right? They haven't had the conversation, just like you were saying, Alexa.
I want to see this bill sliding going back and forth. I want to be at the next table.
I love the idea of choosing free activities, but if he chooses an activity that costs money, you should say to him, we either share this expense, or you treat, or I'm not doing it.
I feel like he saved so much money by letting you pay, only paying his half, and then sometimes not paying.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's saving up for something, I'm not buying it.
Which I had that thought too, that he's like saving
maybe
up.
Maybe he's to be swirling
like,
away.
Here's a ring or something ridiculous thing. But even still,
yeah. The only, she goes on to say, the only potential serious trouble I see in your future is if you stay with someone who behaves in a way that is both ungenerous and confusing, and you don't have the courage even to ask him about it.
Yeah, yeah, this is the thing. If you've set up the situation where so early on there's that communication is lacking, it's just going to get worse down the line. I have a friend, a former friend, had an extreme example of this. The husband was so cheap throughout the entire marriage that at the end he had a shitload of money. And she had nothing.
Right. So and then you have to be careful. You got to really be.
But if you let that person get away, she let him get away with that for like a decade. So it's like you can't really be that surprised. You can't all of a sudden, after years of that, be like, hey, let me break me off some money. And the dude's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You've been eating scraps the whole time. And you've been fine.
Yeah.
And loving it.
That's right. And you set a precedent for something.
Yeah.
This is how our relationship is going to be.
Yeah. And then it keeps going. And also, this is your first boyfriend, so you got to get rid of him at some point. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Early. I'm 1950.
I hope they're like early 20s.
I hope so, too. What are they, like 40?
Yeah.
Well, all right. So speaking of attractive qualities, penis news.
Ooh. Oh, this is Jaquetta's favorite segment.
Yeah, well, I talk about penises in the news, the member on the move, scrotum stories, dick updates. This is actually a positive thing. Cyclist saved by his penis after being struck by lightning. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like a penis saves the day. It's a 41-year-old man from Croatia was struck by lightning, but luckily the penis saved him. So he was.
It's not the first person to be saved by lightning.
This is Zoran Jerkovic was hit by lightning while but saved his penis. This is terribly written. Anyway, this dude was riding a bike, it looks like, in the picture. He got hit by lightning. The charge traveled through his earphones and down to his penis. And it, by doing so, it skipped its chest because it's trying to get to the lowest part. So it traveled around his chest and did not kill him. Went through his penis and then came out the penis, apparently.
Nice.
His penis rounded him. So I don't know if this guy's penis was that big or, like, what was going on.
And did, like, a lightning bolt, like, zap out of his pee hole?
I hope so. That would have been amazing.
I would have loved to see that.
And then diamond shot out of it and a rainbow.
And he's going to be telling this story forever about how lightning came out of his penis.
Yes.
And girls are going to be like, what? And he's like, yeah, that's what I do.
Yep. He said he was wearing thick rubber boots, so the charge couldn't exit through his feet, which would normally happen. Thankfully, his penis earthed him. When the charge connected to his earphones, traveled down the clip-on radio he was wearing to his belt, and then shot out his dick.
Wow.
Yes. So that's my penis news, everybody.
That's fascinating.
Penis saves.
Wow.
Yes. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have Tales from the Dare Campfire.
Tales from Dare Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet, the paranormal, ghost stories, folk legends, everything.
Scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire, so.
Gather around, listeners.
Yes.
This is a classic. I've heard this one when I was
Bring your penis
child.
With you because it's going to shock you.
But they're framing it as an Ontario ghost story. And
okay.
A ghost story from Canada.
What?
Yeah. There is
really? So, and it's originally from New Jersey?
No, it's really, I heard it in New Jersey as a kid, but it's really from Canada.
Classic Canada.
So, we salute you, Canada.
Yes.
Yeah. And,
a lot of good things come from Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. A lot of great things, and we love Canada.
Clean air.
We love Canada. It's got a place for me to live, for all of us to live.
After November.
I just got back from Canada, and they hassle you at the border now. It's why are you coming here? It's like, why do you think?
you know why.
You know why. Stop playing.
Okay, it's called Where's My Liver?
Okay. Oh, God. Where's my liver?
Okay. Go straight to the store and don't fool around, his mother said sternly as she handed over the money. Your father's boss is coming over for dinner tonight and we're having to make his favorite meal of liver and onions.
Wait, no preamble? They just write into the story? This is a professional.
This is Canada for you.
This is so much better than the usual American tales from Durr when it's like, my house is 1 mile from a lake. The lake is 3 miles across. Okay.
Sometimes it freezes over. Sometimes in the summer it does not.
Anyway.
Okay. So the mother goes on. It's important that we make a good impression, so get the best liver they got. I will, Ma.
What? Get the best liver they got. Spare no expense on that liver. Go for the moon.
I will, Ma, Tommy sulked. His mother had really been after him since he brought home a failing report card. Tommy grabbed his bicycle from the garage and rode down
the street. Sorry, let that context sink in for a second. Poor grades are the backdrop of this.
Yes.
Okay? That's a real problem.
So
in
Canada.
He's
on his bike and rode down the street. Then he saw his friend Chad. Come on, Tommy, Chad called. The gang's playing baseball over in the park, and we need a pitcher.
Wow.
Just
I know. It's the 50s. Canada's so precious.
Yeah. Immediately, all thoughts of his errand fled from Tommy's mind. The boys headed to the park. Tommy pitched a no-hitter to win the game for his team.
What? Really?
But by the time it was over, it was dark, and Tommy remembered his errand. The liver, he gasped.
as he ran for home plate. The liver! No!
I've got to get to the store. But the local grocers were closed.
Wait, don't kids hate liver, too?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's disgusting. Maybe it can be prepared in a way that it's not disgusting, but when I was growing up, I mean, we all have different backgrounds. Like, how was liver done when you were growing
up? It was done on a rare occasion. And we all were like, no! And we were never forced to eat it. It was usually my mother wanted it for some iron.
Yes,
exactly.
We weren't
thing.
Forced to eat it either, but it would happen. Yeah. And you're like, who wants this?
Yeah. The best way to prepare liver is to put it in a pan and then empty the pan into the garbage and then eat chicken or something else.
I like that method.
My mom's going to kill me, he gasped. First the bad report card, now this. He would be grounded for life.
Wow, that's a strict household.
Yeah.
Don't beat off. I'll be hung by the feet like Mussolini for owning this.
Yeah, as he rode home past the cemetery, he got an idea.
Did he ever.
It was an awful idea, but it would save him from an even more awful fate that awaited him if he came home without a liver.
He's also a necromancer on the side, so whatever.
Tommy the Necromancer.
Yes, Tommy the Necromancer. The Necromancer's daughter.
His great uncle died a few days ago and had been buried in the cemetery.
So naturally.
So what harm would it do to remove it?
His uncle need it.
Certainly didn't need it.
Yeah. Canadians resourceful, using every part of the dead.
No
uncle.
Organ right. donating in this family?
No. Because of this.
That's right.
You're storing it up for later.
Don't they remove all of that?
I don't know. I hope maybe they packed him with salt, a little tarragon. Who knows?
Tommy hurried home as silently as he could, and he got his father's shovel. He returned to the cemetery and began digging up his great uncle's grave.
So at no point are the parents just like, oh, what do we have to tell him? Whatever.
They're sitting there. They're starving.
Yeah.
That night, his mother cooked up the liver and onions, and the boss raved about the meal and had such a great time, he didn't leave till quite late.
How were the onions procured? Nothing on that? Okay, fine.
Tommy went to bed that night relieved. He'd gotten away with it, and he fell asleep almost as soon as his head hit the pillow, but woke with a start.
Wait, stop. No mention of the whole horror of him digging it up, him getting the liver, him cutting it out, him putting it into a Tupperware container, a Canadian one, or whatever they have, bringing it home. Nothing?
Yeah, it's just like, what a scamp.
Yeah.
it's like on par with the baseball going through the window.
Yeah.
It's like,
who knew?
Yeah.
Nice kid.
So Tommy went to bed that night relieved, but he had gotten away with it. He slept almost as soon as his head hit the pillow, but woke with a start soon after.
I hate my uncle's liver.
Sure, that he heard a voice. Tommy gasped in fear and flung himself under the covers as the thud of a heavy footstep reached the top of the stairs. Thump, thump, thump. The footsteps drew nearer until they reached Tommy's door.
Where is my liver?
The horrible voice.
I love it. Yo, son, where my liver at? Stop playing.
Go away, Tommy whispered repeatedly. His whole body trembled in terror, and once more the voice asked,
where is my liver?
Sheer terror made him suddenly bold. Tommy threw back the covers and found the shriveled white face of his great uncle.
Huh? Where?
Right above him.
Okay.
So he sees his dead uncle, and then he says, we ate your liver.
He did?
He shouted, yeah.
Yeah, forget about it, dude. Yeah. It's over. Forget about your liver. It's done.
And then the rotting corpse of his great uncle said softly,
I know you did.
Right?
Yeah. Well, he just said he did.
I know you did, Tommy.
And he stretched out his bony hands towards the boy, shaking, and Tommy screamed. The next morning, Tommy's parents discovered their son lying dead on top of his bed.
Wow, that got real.
His liver had been ripped out of his body. But the autopsy revealed, because this is Canada, that the boy had already died of fright before the liver was removed.
Oh, okay. Phew. Are you serious? That's not bad. That's not bad. That's actually a legitimate horror story.
That was a real story.
Thank you for providing voice work, by Alexis Lambright.
Yes. If anyone wants to hire Alexis,
please. Yes.
Contact heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yes, and we will get you
in
touch with Alexis for a 10% fee.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Oh, that's
15.
15.
I'm generous.
Managers.
That's how it is. Well, there's two of us. We both got to eat liver.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, so Alexis is available for parties.
Yeah, bar mitzvahs, weddings, divorces, baptisms, brises. So I was listening to a podcast, and they were always complaining because at the end of the podcast, when you have a guest, you always say, where can people find you? I don't know what's wrong with saying that. I don't know any other way to say it, but what is the location of your business online, I guess?
I'll just give you my social media
stuff. Yeah, break it down.
At Alexis Lambright on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Just put in my name because my, handle is really complicated. I didn't think about that when
I did the same thing with mine.
With your Instagram?
Yeah, but I don't even use it.
I did the same thing as well. I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, but whatever.
And friend me on Facebook and go to magnettheater.com. I'm in shows a few times a week.
Oh, are there any shows without you there?
Right? That's
got to come early to not see Alexis Lambright in a show.
Also, I want to plug the Griot Show is another bi-monthly storytelling show that I host at the Magnet Theater, and the next one is August 12th. That's a Friday at 7 p.m.
Yeah, they're awesome shows. I've been in the audience. I attempted to be on a show one time.
You were in one?
I was.
Yeah.
I'm still calling it an attempt. I wasn't thrilled with what I did. But it's a really eclectic and fun and diverse show.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've gone to several. It's one of my favorites. I love hearing the stories from a diverse group of people, and it's really bold and funny and
If you haven't seen any intense, weird black stuff, this is where you can see it. Like it's really some alt, like weird in a good way.
Yeah, it's good.
You know?
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, so check it out. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
It's been lovely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Is my liver. A ghostly voice rose up from the staircase.
Nice.
Deep and guttural. Oh, I didn't do it.
Right. Okay.
Good. So we'll each audition for the part of the uncle. the line is, where's my liver? Okay. Deep and guttural.
Okay. Where's my liver?
Is that it?
That was it. I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared.
Alexis.
Where's my liver?
Oh,
that was good.
Good one. I think that you got the part.
Yeah, I think you got the part.
You were the uncle.
There's no pay, it's non-union.
All right, so I'm going to go on, and then when I cue you, you can say it,
okay?
Okay.